When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Yeah, so
Pumping Iron is just the most ridiculous movie you've ever seen. He's, and that guy ended up being the governor of California.
He is a very interesting. And Matthew McConaughey is also, like, his story is just like, it blew my mind. He's the youngest of three boys.
Guilty as charged. Silence.
It's episode 246 of the Simply Human podcast with your host, Mark. And Rick, two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, enjoy, and how you can start living more like human today.
You guys got to start watching on YouTube to see Mark's crazy hand gestures.
On today's show, it is the return of the great Kathleen Trotter. She's a personal trainer, author of Finding Your Fit and Your Future Fittest Self, nutritionist, life coach, professional speaker, wellness writer, overall health enthusiast, and someone with a very short, succinct bio on their website. Which is very hard to find.
What, a short and succinct bio?
Yes.
Every time I'm going to speak, like at a conference, they're like, can you please submit a bio? And my bio is like,
I like hamburgers.
Rick has been a, that's exactly, Rick has been a police officer for 16 years. He works in youth services and he likes hamburgers.
Sometimes.
Actually got them to put that on the last speaker bio. I don't think anybody got the joke.
Sometimes I will throw in, and he has been run over by a car. Because you like him.
More interested in hearing that than what you have to speak about.
Right. Yeah, please tell that story for us.
I have an announcement.
Oh.
Someone at work has complained about the excessive length of my hair.
And?
So I have to get a haircut tomorrow. So in my, the,
in the real world,
my hair is not considered long.
Right.
It's considered like medium length. Here, look. This is what it looks like without the headphones.
Do like a,
like it's not.
Yeah, that's not. I would.
It's not crazy long, but in the world of police, it's like insanely long. And so, technically speaking, we have grooming standards that say that like you can't have your hair touching your collar, and my stuff is like 2 or 3 inches below the collar. So. My boss was like, hey, I don't really care, but somebody complained about it. I'm like,
you're like Marge down in the records, public information doesn't appreciate your hair.
Yeah, so I'm going to get my luxurious locks cut.
So
I had an idea to take a Bic razor and just do it completely skin bald and just show up and be like, hey, what? You guys wanted me to get a haircut?
Fine, I did it. Is this what you wanted?
They also complained about the length of my sideburns. They're not supposed to extend below your earlobe. And literally, they were like an eighth of an inch below my earlobe.
Well, you mentioned grooming and police. Do they have like a room with a window, but you're all are like, you're up on a table with a little leash and they're like shaving you? And like, do they do your back and stuff at the same time?
Oh, no, they're not doing anybody's shaving anybody's back up there. I can tell you that.
Back hair is full.
Yeah. You know, we could be more concerned about finding and identifying white supremacists in our business and rooting them out, or about my hair. Like, that guy's hair is too long.
I have a story.
He looks too crazy.
I have a
His
story.
His individualism is showing.
I have a story about that, which we're going to get to.
We've all got stories about Nazis now.
In our neighborhoods. But before we say that, your hair reminded me of something. My dad and I took my dad out to the ranch a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and we were talking about all the different places that he lived and his high school years and all that. Well, when he went to college, he had like hair. His hair was like down here. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures. He had really long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his senior year at Texas City, down like South Texas, that was like against the code. And so there were a bunch of senior guys that went and bought wigs and would wear wigs to school to like dress. And that was like, okay, like everybody knew they had wigs on, but as long as your hair.
So if it wasn't your natural hair, you're all right.
Right, yeah, gosh. Yeah, I guess. And so
something more dumb and arbitrary. I mean, but the wigs, than, like,
but the wigs were short, right? I mean, it was like, and so my dad was like, "Yeah, when I was like, did you like, what'd you do with the wig?" And he's like, oh, "I graduated and like gave it to like a junior that was coming up. You know, like here's my wig."
Gross.
I know. Hey, and I was
here's a wig you can wear, one gently used wig.
But I was like, man, why didn't you keep your wig? Like, how hilarious would that be? Like, here was Dad's wig that
just
he wore
digging
to
it out
school.
From an old
scrapbook.
Like, I'm imagining Clark Griswold up in the attic, like looking through all the Christmas stuff and finding the wig and just putting it on and watching home movies while wearing an old women's robe.
And then crashing through the ceiling. So we have 7 minutes. Yes, you have. Oh, man, that's funny. That's a funny story. We have 7 minutes. I woke up Monday morning. It's a holiday, Martin Luther King Day.
The holiday was Martin Luther King Day. Yeah. It's important to note.
So I walk outside, and I notice in my neighbor's driveway a little bag, a little piece of trash in the driveway. So I kind of odd enough that I kind of walked over like, what is that? And there was a mugshot in the baggie with a little rock in it. And it was, as I got closer, I noticed that it was a mugshot of Martin Luther King with all this stuff under it, like Martin Luther King was a bleep, 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 like all this like defamatory stuff about Dr.
Marxist
King.
Marxist, socialist,
communist,
sex
orgies, right, all this crazy stuff. And I was like, what in the world? Why? What is this? I guess the kid that lives at the house was doing like a book report about fake news. I don't know. Well, I walk over to my in-laws who live like two houses down, and which is where my kids were. And
this is here in Abilene? I didn't know they moved to Abilene.
Yeah, they live like right down the street. I mean, like,
I didn't know.
It's crazy.
Okay.
And so they have a pool. And there's one of the baggies in their driveway. So, like, I look up, and I just see them. They live on the corner, and, like, down the street, I see baggies in, like, all the driveways. So I open one up, and it's, like, this whole defamatory Martin Luther King. Like, then there's, like, a Nazi symbol with, like, all this, like, white power, like, Nazi language. And then there's, like, all this stuff about Biden and whatever. And it's just, like, but it was, like, hate speech crazy, like, Nazi Sieg Heil stuff, like what?
Yeah. Call to join.
Yeah, right. With like a website and all this. So I take a picture of it and I send it to a buddy of mine who works for a local news station, who like lives in the neighborhood. I'm like, have you seen this? Like, what have you, you know? So I walk around and I get all the ones that I can just in my hands. I'm like picking them up because I'm like, there's kids. I don't want kids to see this Nazi
local
stuff.
Man seen carrying around Nazi propaganda.
Well, hang on, you're gonna think this is funny. So I get all that I can. I go back to my house and I dump them all like in a pile, like my distribution pile is what it looks like. So then I get my bike and a backpack and I go and I do like the next three streets down and I stop at every one of these that I get. I mean, you know, these long streets. And so I've got my whole backpack completely full to the top. Then I call my 11-year-old daughter and I was like, get out here right now. And I get in the truck. She's like, what? I give her one of these pamphlets. She looks at it and I was like, we go and do the next hour and a half. We got 218 of them. And that's like,
did you just stop or did when you ran out of room or did you stop when you found all?
We did the whole neighborhood.
As many as you could.
Yeah. And some people had seen them, you know, like they're posting on like the Nextdoor app, which is where the part is that you're going to think is funny. So they post on the Nextdoor app, you know, look what I saw when I woke up this morning. This is horrible. Blah, 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 blah. And, but it made me so happy thinking about how long it took them to fold the little papers, to put them in the baggie, to put the little rock in there, to seal them up. And 218 of those were thwarted and waste. Their time was wasted. Well, okay, so on the Nextdoor app, somebody posted, look what I did. Well, then someone commented on the post and said, yeah, I saw a guy on a bike with a backwards hat and a backpack who looked super suspicious. and so I commented like, that was me. Sorry. I was actually going around picking him up. And then I like took a screenshot of that because I thought it was funny. And then I immediately deleted it because I thought, wait a second, what if the people who are responsible for distributing these are in the neighborhood? And then now they see that I've like,
yeah,
ruined,
you're the one who thwarted their great
plan,
their
recruitment plan. Yeah. And then they know my address. And I was like, dang, like, and it's kind of a, like a little commentary on this whole idea that we're like post-racial, we're in a post-racial society is like...
I think the last 4 years showed us that we are absolutely not in a post-racial society.
And not to get like, you know, too political or anything, but to me that's not a politics thing. That is like a human rights hate group.
Agreed. I think it's emboldened by the politics of some these days. I think I miss the time where it used to be... not cool to tell everyone that you're a crazy racist. Now it's completely all right. I miss the time where those people were living under a rock.
Yeah, and we can
afraid to say that kind of stuff.
Right, right. We can go a bunch of different directions. The point is,
I think it's funny though that I told you when you told me this, I was like, hey, you need to call the FBI. The FBI has like 50 some odd like field offices in big cities, but they have like 200 some odd what they call resident agencies. Smaller towns, they have like maybe 3 or 4 agents. And I know Abilene's got one, and I gave you the number, and you were like, "Yeah, I called their voicemail box."
Like we're up to here,
yeah,
with the neo-Nazis. But I finished this book today. This is I've talked about this author, Jonathan Haidt. He wrote The Happiness
Hypothesis. You told me to read that book.
I finished it, and it is like, oh, why good people are divided by politics and religion. And it breaks down like the psychology behind why one group of people over here can think this group is insane. And this group is brainwashed. There's no way they can be like humans and then like flip it. And this group is thinking the same thing about, you know, it's like it goes through like from the genetics, from like the your upbringing. It's moral foundation theory is all in this. It's really, I mean, you would just
devour it. If you're not watching the video, that's what Mark is doing, pretending I'm devouring it.
You would love it. And I would love to hear your thoughts after you read it. I might get it for you for your 1/4 of the way to your 11th birthday.
It is in 5 weeks.
Weird.
My 10.25 10 and 1/4 birthday.
Rick,
Mark,
Tienes, ¿cuántos tienes años?
¿Cuántos años tienes?
Dang it. How many years do you have? How 40. Many do you have years?
Más o menos 41.
More or less.
Yeah. In 5 semanas me voy a tener 41 años. Notice I didn't say 41 años.
Why not?
It's a very important little the thingy over the N that in Spanish.
It's a difference.
Año is year. Ano, without the little thingy, means anus. So when Mark says, hey, Rick, tiene un feliz ano nuevo, what Mark is saying is he hopes that I have a happy new anus.
Or, as we said, feliz cumpleanos.
Happy birth anus.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, hang on. So Kathleen is just going to jump in.
All right.
At any moment. Okay. So I'm excited about Kathleen. We had a good time. She was on episode 228.
She was on very early on in the pandemic.
That's right. I wonder when. Let's look very quickly and see when.
You must have a spreadsheet somewhere.
No, I have our red circle. I also probably need to check.
So we got another $3 in ad revenue this month.
Oh, dang it. I don't want to go there. Red Circle, Simply Human.
Speaking of anuses.
Yeah. Would you like to... what? Are you? I'm not watching you. Did you do something?
You said you're looking at the Red Circle. And I was like, speaking of anuses...
God, okay.
I am almost 41 years old, okay. And I am 13 at heart.
Is that so funny? Well, okay, you know that we're recording. Okay, good. And so last time
I do know that
because I was reminded that
does my technological technology know I'm recording? Is
right,
another
exactly,
thing. It's like
right.
fucking with me. Okay.
Yeah. So I was reminded. I was reminded that we tricked you because of how many bleeping tools that I had to use, and I love cussing. I'm a proponent.
I'm gonna be better.
Okay.
I won't swear as much.
I love it. But then there's this balance of like, if there's a lot of bleeping tools, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do that later because there's lots of bleeping tools, and I'd rather
no,
get
no,
it
I won't.
Okay, so okay. You talk about
I won't swear as much.
So stillness is the key.
Yes.
Is a book that we talked about and you read and you wrote this incredible book review like that I've read and it was amazing. We're going to talk about that. And you and you were like, but what I think I heard you say before you froze is that you wanted to ask right off the top what we're reading.
Well, I was excited to know what you were reading, and I was very excited to bring this word that I learned because you taught me about Stoicism and Ryan Holiday and all that stuff. And I just learned this word, anacluthia. Have you heard of this?
No, what is that?
Okay, so it's like Stoic philosophy. It's a word, a Stoic philosophy word, and it's basically this idea.
Spell it for me.
Anacoluthia, I think.
Anacoluthia.
Yeah, and basically it's this idea of emotional maturity being the ability to hold two supposed opposites sort of at once. So like strong and tender, or like rest and pushing through. And that really to evolve into the humans that we all want to be, you have to appreciate where you bias, which of the like sides you tend to think is quote more important, and then work to balance out your opposites and be able to hold both. So I'm currently working on this with myself of the idea of I'm very good at pushing through, like when my body's tired, push, not giving myself enough rest. But the problem is if you do that and you expend energy and you don't rest, as you guys obviously know, especially in the fitness world, like you get worn down, you get burned out, and then you're just not the best version of yourself.
Right.
So for me, it's this work right now of being like, yes, pushing is really important with work, like, you know, going through a phase of like you're in your push phase, your build phase, and then you get a little bit older and you're like, okay, build phase is good, but now I have to respect my boundaries. I have to create more energy producing rituals. I have to maybe meditate, whatever. And one is not better than the other. Like a 10K run is not better than the meditation, but you need both and you need this. That's why I love when I came across this term, I was like, yes, that's my next phase of emotional maturity. And I think so many people, if health and wellness, that's their biggest problem is they think it's like, well, I just have to find the perfect workout and have to push, right? Or they're like, well, I'm just going to sit and watch Netflix and do nothing. It's like, you have to be able to do both. You have to know like when you deserve the rest and when you need the rest versus when you want the rest and give yourself what you need versus what you want. And then if you've been sitting, having like a beautiful bath, be like, oh, that's great. Now I rested. And now tomorrow I'm going to like bring the like the power and like get really strong.
Did you read that in a book? How did you find out about this? What book was it?
I'm currently reading a book all on energy management. I can actually tell you on my
Is it on your Kindle or your Audible?
It's Audible, The Power of Full Engagement. They were just talking about, you know, this idea of resting and pushing and being sort of getting stronger, that combination of pushing past discomfort a little bit, but then also knowing if you're the person who like pushes, that you then have to balance out with some rest. So anyway, I'm loving the book.
Cool.
And when I read this term, I was like, I have to share it with you guys.
Well, and so I have a couple of books. So the first one I just finished today is one that we talked about in the intro. It's Jonathan Haidt wrote The Happiness Hypothesis, The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. And it's like, there's a lot of like evolutionary, like biology and like psychology and stuff in here, which is like really fun. I love reading about that kind of stuff. And then Rick, watch her eyes light up when I talk about this next book that I'm starting, which is on my queue that I already bought. Watch her face, Rick. Are you watching?
I'm watching.
Atomic Habits.
Okay. I freaking like what? I'm not allowed to swear, but I love that book.
Well,
so
I
have a review.
I know.
Of that
I saw that.
Oh, you saw it.
I already had it written down to talk to you about, and then I saw that you did a review on it, and I was like, oh my gosh, of course.
Okay. You have to come to Toronto, and we have to, both of you have to come to Toronto, and post pandemic, and we have to go for dinner, and we have to literally talk about books for like 17 hours. This is so awesome. Yes. I can't even tell you how excited I am.
Since it's in Canada, do we have to eat poutine? Do we have to eat the French fries with the gravy on it? Is that just a Quebec thing?
I think it's more of a Quebec thing.
Okay.
But,
Alexander?
I can find you some if you want.
Poutine? Stop. Putin? Rick's book is Hank the Cow Dog. That's the one was going to recommend.
I'm on a big nonfiction kick right now, like a historical nonfiction. Mark, you're actually one of the people who got me turned on to this author, Eric Larson.
Yeah, so great. Devil in the White City. Yeah,
I'm reading what's the name of the title? The Splendid and the Vile. It's about when Churchill took over as prime minister, like right there, pretty much before like all of Europe was engulfed in World War II, and how he spurred England on to fight pretty much like an impossible battle and survive. And it's a really interesting book. This is like the third Eric Larson book I've read.
The Devil in the White City
was about the first like serial killer in America, which is crazy.
And it's how it's like right connected
Chicago
with
World's Fair.
Yeah.
And then I read In the Garden of the Beast, which is another kind of World War II, written from the kind of the perspective of the United States ambassador to Germany in the crazy fascist lead up to Hitler taking over and the start of World War II. So
I think before our next podcast, I have to review some history is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I've gotten it full on in like nerd history mode. This is like the fourth like World War II-ish type book I've read probably in like the last year or so.
Isn't it so cool when you find something that you love and then like you just like go down
that
rabbit hole of information? You're just like more.
Something so deep like World War II where there's like a trillion books about it, and like each one examines like just a separate aspect of it. You're always just picking something out else that's new. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of why I've fallen into this.
I also just think it's really interesting to read history, first of all, because lessons and everything repeat, but also it's very good, I think, in a global pandemic. It's one of the reasons why I like some of the Stoic philosophy, because when Marcus Aurelius is like writing about being in a plague, and you're like,
people dying
like
all around
history,
him. Yeah.
You read and you're like, right, even though this feels like terrible, we are not the only people who've existed through terrible things in history. And it's just like this perspective that I think is very important, because I think it's just very human, but we can get very caught up. It's almost like this self-obsessed, like, oh, I'm the only one. We're the only people. This is the worst time.
Right.
It's like,
like
there's definitely some bad stuff, but like at least we have technology to bond over, you know, if
for
we go
sure.
back, you know. So yeah. So I just think history gives us that great perspective and definitely lessons and sort of first principles of how you want to live. And that's the kind of cool part about being human, is that everything can be sort of data that we learn from. That's actually another book I wanted to tell you guys about. Have you heard of Susan David?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So she wrote this book called Emotional Agility. And one of her things that she says she talks about like everything being emotions being data, not directives, which I think is really important, especially like I always connect everything to sort of health. But I think that a lot of people think, oh, well, I feel something, so therefore I have to, like I'm sad, so I have to eat, or I'm sad, so I have, right?
Yeah.
And I really love this idea. Like you can say like, okay, I'm sad. Every emotion is valid, but that's data. So maybe I need to phone a friend, or maybe I need to journal, but it's not a directive of how I then act. She's very cool. She also has this thing that she talks about things being dead people's goals, which I think this is how I sort of got connected with the pandemic, is I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, I just want life to be over with no stress, and I want have no pain. So she would say, well, that's a dead person's goal. Like if you want a life with no stress, no pain, no anxiety, like, okay, so go 6 feet.
That's not life.
Right.
It's not life. And so I really, really like her. She has a podcast as well.
Cool.
That's like 15 minute kind of snippets of psychology
and one last little book thing, and then I have some things I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Since we last talked, the show came out in May, so I think we probably talked like in April. I mean, it was like the shutdown was pretty new when we talked.
Yeah.
But my uncle, I always like, you know, I've always got the nonfiction, like the heavy stuff, and then like I always have like a fiction book going. Like just as kind of like
I should learn from you. I don't read enough fiction.
Just where I can not have to like stop and highlight and like process. I can, if I skip over a line or two, it's not, I can still read the book.
Not a big deal.
And my uncle recommended the Harry Bosch novels, and the great part about it is there's like 20 something of them. And since we talked, I read all 20 Bosch novels, and then I started on like that Michael Connelly, the author, has this other. These other characters, Mickey Haller, the Lincoln lawyer, the Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
That's
a Michael Connelly book, and this kind of same deal. So those are great. Just
we
as,
all
like, brain,
need that sort of distraction from what's going on. I have, for me, that's my Peloton classes, particularly Cody. When I when I do a Cody Peloton class, it's like I leave this world and I'm just like dancing to Britney music. And it's just like there's no pandemic. There's no nothing. I've never fought with anybody. I'm like the happiest Kathleen ever. So it's just like, so yeah, I think we all need something, whether it's like television or Cody or like also my, I have a little corgi dog Olive, the same thing when she's going crazy. It's like, you forget that anything else exists.
Right.
And
how are they always so happy to see you? Like, what, how is that?
And
like,
and
what is the time frame? Is it 30 seconds? And then you come, like, if you forget your keys and come back, it's like
forgotten
the
that you're gone. They've forgotten that you were even there in the first place.
I don't know, but it's just lovely. Like, we got her pretty much at the beginning of the pandemic and like about a month before the pandemic. So we had no idea. And it's such a gift. Like, she's just like such a joy because you can just go for a walk and you just sort of like, you know, you look at some Christmas lights and then you have the little puppy and then she kind of runs, she's like herding around you and you're like, you know, almost falling over the leash and you just laugh and then you forget all the craziness, which is really nice for at least for a moment. So,
Awesome. Well, okay. So I'm going to say this quote and I want us to dissect and talk about this quote. And it is, I saw it on your website. This is an FM Alexander quote.
Okay.
Humans don't decide their future. Mm. They decide their habits.
Yes.
Discuss.
Discuss. Well, I would even go one step farther back from that. What I would say is that humans hopefully decide their habits, because often what happens is that habits are created by default, not by design. And so, but then the habits create your, I think the rest of the quote is that then the habits create your destiny.
Right.
And I think that that's been part of the problem with COVID is that all of our lives sort of shifted and we didn't take, a lot of us didn't take the time to sort of intentionally create new systems. So we just went from one life to the other. And anytime there's a big shift, your habits are going to shift, right? So the habits are things that you basically do without thinking and life sort of takes you up. And then you're like, you know, sitting at your desk for 14 hours and you have to, if you want to be healthy, you have to decide to intentionally design the habits that you want, especially after something like COVID. Like I look at when this first started and I went 100% on Zoom with all my clients for the-
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The first like week I was had my computer down on the ground and I was like bent over and my back was hurting and everything. And so I had to step back and be like, okay, I was reacting to life, which is totally fair. Like I was like, had to redesign my entire business model. So that's fair for the first little while. But then if I'd continued like that, I think I literally would have been like a cripple. Like it would just would have just like not right. So I was like, okay, so I was reacting. It was happening by default. Now I have to decide to design the life that's going to like serve me. So I got an external camera. One day I'll take you into my other room is where my studio is. So like I got an external camera and I got a microphone so I can move around the studio.
Oh, cool.
I got it's up like my computer's up on a desk so I don't have to bend over. So that's just like a really like obviously a very simple example of what that is. But that's what I'm really trying to work with my clients on is understanding how to design the habits that are going to serve you.
And that's a great example, because now once you decided to do that and once you set up that context, then what? Then it was easy. Yes. Then you're
exactly.
not then you're not having to decide yes. every time to do
exactly.
this. It's just it's
and
just
that's FM Alexander's point is that when you can create habits that serve you, like, you know, brushing your teeth, you don't think every morning like, oh, should I brush my teeth? You just sort of do it. And the more of those habits that you create that do serve you, the easier health is. And that's why I think a lot of people at the beginning adopting a healthier lifestyle can be a lot of work.
Right.
And then eventually once more things become a habit, then it becomes less. We lost one of us.
Yeah.
Then it becomes
Rick, less and less
work.
He was frozen for a long time. And I was kind of like going like, is he okay? And he texted me.
I was like, what's going on?
He got logged off or whatever. So.
Well, hopefully he will
he'll come back.
So what I often like to say to my clients though, is I actually like to come back one step from the FM Alexander and say, what you have to do is create systems that then create the habits, because
right.
habits don't just happen. They are created after like lots of
good habits
over and
don't
over,
just
right?
happen.
Good. Exactly.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
you've been listening. Exactly.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
habits don't just happen. Yes.
Well, it's like the default pandemic habit was sit on the couch and watch Tiger King, you know, like
exactly.
that
drink lots of alcohol.
Yeah. Like,
and
so you had to like kind of go like,
yes,
flow upstream. But
yes.
then once you get up to the lake, you know,
yes.
then you're not having to fight upstream anymore.
Yeah, it just becomes
anymore.
Easier.
Yeah.
So like one of the habits James and I do at the end of the day is we take olive and we go for a little walk. And like at the beginning, that wasn't so much of a habit, but now it's something we both really look forward to because, you know, I spend all day in front of Zoom. And so that's something, you know, and they can be silly habits. Like
yeah.
a couple of my clients, we've created these where at the end of the day, they close their computer, they leave their house, they walk around the block and then they open the door and they're like, honey, I'm home. Like to pretend,
right.
yay, you're back.
I don't know what the heck happened there, but I am back.
I know what you did. You left to walk around the block and then you're going to come here and then you're going to say, honey,
it's
I'm
a
home.
Habit. It's 8:51. So that's
you
his
had said, you talked about sitting down for too long. And so I had to get up and walk around.
Exactly. Bit. You were creating a healthy habit. Yeah. No, but I think your point really is really true is that, you have to intentionally like health so much is especially at the beginning about intentionality.
Yeah. And there, I've said this to a few people over you know, just like here recently. And because like, when I first started, you know, I practiced athletics in college. So it's not like, so I was like, I didn't play much. That's the joke there, Rick. I didn't play.
Oh, it's not a joke. It's reality. But
you're like, no, I got it. It was,
no.
It wasn't funny. Yeah.
Have you guys actually known each other since college?
Oh gosh.
Oh, we've
since
known each other since we were
school.
Like 11.
Middle school. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we really need a 17-hour dinner. Because now
yes.
I want to hear all of the stories
oh,
about both of
no,
you guys.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. It's like when I first started like my health journey, like I was just kind of floating around. And then in 2006, I started like, I was running marathons. I was vegan and I was doing all this stuff. And like my whole, like, but I would go, like, I would fluctuate a lot. Like I would like, I would gain all
that, like boom and that
weight,
like boom and bust
and then
cycle.
Come back.
Yeah.
And it was like, and it's like, I would like starve myself during the week and have like a cheat day on Sundays. And like, it was really hard work. And over the last probably 7 years when Jen was in the hospital with our youngest son, I mean, she's fine now, but that was kind of a turning point. And like, I feel like I tell some of my friends, like, I feel like I've broken some sort of code because like I feel like I'm eating dessert and beer or whatever as much as I want, which to like a normal person, I guess is not very much. But to me, I'm not deprived of anything.
Yeah.
I typically eat one meal a day. I do extended fasts like a couple times a month. Like there's just a few, you know, I don't usually eat any sweets at all. Most of the time, like tonight, like there was like cherry pie and like I didn't even, it wasn't even like, oh my gosh, I can't have cherry pie. It's like, oh, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't eat, I'm not eating cherry pie and I don't have to think about it. And it's like, I'm my body body composition, the way I feel, the way I sleep is just, it never changes. And I'm like, I feel like I'm cheating here.
No, but I when think somebody you've just figured yeah. out your recipe for success, yeah, right? And yeah. you've figured out how to make it an internal, intrinsically right. driven process. Like, I think that's actually the biggest thing, is that so many of us, it's all from the health is about what is being forced upon us. And then what happens is we have these sort of internal, almost like adolescent parts of us. It's like, screw you, don't tell me what to do. So then we're like fighting against the outside world. Yeah. And I like to call it becoming your health hero. Like, I think when you can figure out a way to make it a struggle that you are doing for you. And like, yeah, you're going to hit lots of like the road of trials on the hero's journey. Like, you're going to hit those things. And yeah, you might need, you know, you need your village, like you need your Yoda and like these people to help you for sure. But ultimately you are figuring out within you right. what yeah. you need, what you can do. And you're going at it from a very different point. It's very much like, but I want to go, like, I want to eat these healthy foods because I want to have positive energy. I'm going to yeah. go to bed, not because I'm being told I should, but because I want to have a good yeah. day tomorrow. Yeah. You know, if I don't pig out on a food, it's because I don't want to feel crappy the next day. Like, but it's my choice. It's not like my mother's choice. It's not my doctor's choice. It's ultimately what I have decided are my values. And it's what's worth it, right? Like, right. you know, you're saying like, well, there's cherry pie. Well, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, or somebody on their health journey right now is like, you know, like, well, don't, you know, world, don't tell me that I can't have had cherry pie. Like, I don't want to feel deprived. Whereas like, I think you and I, like, for me, it's more just like, well, is it worth it? Like, if I yeah. absolutely love it, then I might have a small piece of it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I don't want the sugar high. I want to be able to sleep well tonight. Right. I want to be able to do my run tomorrow. Like, it's just like, does the choice align with my values?
Well, and I think
Mark, you and I were talking. You and I were talking last week, Mark. It's like I was texting you. I had a blood test, like 3 weeks ago, and all of my markers, literally all of them, were better. And I would say that like my nutrition probably isn't could stand to be tuned up a little bit. Like, I'm not quite as diligent about that as I used to be. But things that did change is I started like really taking my mental health like really, really seriously.
That's so
fixing
good.
A bunch of super stressful things that were going on with me and trying to not eliminate that stress. You can't eliminate it, but just adjusting how I deal with it, making sure that sleep is a priority. I mean, I'm yeah. dead. Like, I am, my head is on the pillow by like 9:30 every night. Not because it's because I know that I need, I must have sleep.
I love that interrupt.
But I know that my body, I have realized that my body runs better on an yeah. X amount of sleep. And if I want to feel good, I make sure I get that much sleep. And it's yeah. it's none of this, you know, health doesn't happen by accident. Good things yeah. in your life, whether it's health or other things in your life that are good, they don't happen by accident. They happen by intention. They totally. Happen by,
and it's a process, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Man, and it's a maturing process. God, like, you have to give yourself yeah. time. It doesn't it's not like, well, I've had all these terribly unhealthy habits and now like tomorrow I'm going to be healthy. Like, it's right. this, like, it's living and it's learning. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's, as you said, knowing how much sleep you need and knowing yeah. like you're not the bear the next morning if you've had that sleep, and that is something that is actually like a gift to you. It's not, yeah. you know, you're not 14 and nobody's telling you like go to bed, and then you don't have to rebel against that, you yeah. know?
Right. And yeah. one thing, like, whenever I talk about like where it kind of clicked for me is I think I started mentally, redundant here. You can't mentally think. You can't do any other thinking. It's all mentally thinking. But
you can consciously. Yeah, you can unconsciously. Yeah. So I understand what okay. you're saying, because what you're saying is that you're consciously deciding to like strobe light of attention on that area.
And I stopped thinking of it as like how much. What am I gonna, this race I'm doing in a few months, or how much am I gonna weigh on a certain date? And I started thinking about, like, I want to be able to like play on the floor with my grandkids.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I started thinking about that. And then it's like, okay, so that guy, that Mark, who's 80 or whatever, mm-hmm. what does he do every day? Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, if I'm going to make it there, I've got to like, you know, do things now that are worth mm-hmm. that. And then that, I think that was kind of what helped me kind of make that change, because I used to be like if you had told me like, you're not going to be able to, there's going to be weeks that you go and you don't eat ice cream, like Bluebell ice cream, I'd have been like,
what?
Shut your mouth, son of a, you know? And now yeah. it's just like, I didn't get my ice cream, whatever. Okay. You know? And it's yeah. like, and that's like, I feel like that's pretty crazy that I figured that out, you know?
Yeah, but it's cool. Life is, you know, I think to circle back to James Clear and Atomic Habits, what he would say is it's health is this process of learning how to vote for the person that you want to become. And, you know, we have the power in the now to act. Like, you can't, you know, you can't go back and change yesterday. You can learn from yesterday, and you can't do anything tomorrow unless you work today. So every time you decide, like, to, you know, do your mobility training because you want to be able to be down on the ground with your grandkids, like, that's a vote for who you want to be. And I love what he says is you don't have to vote your person in 100%. You're right. Like, so it doesn't have to be 100% of your choices have to be exactly what you've planned, and you can make mistakes and you can fall, whatever. But for the most part, you have to be able to step back and be like, okay, who do I want to be evolving into? And this is such a process. So I love that, because it's just, I don't know, it's just a way to sort of make sure your choices are aligned with your values, but also, I don't know, it's that reflection. It's that pause of, like, stepping back and, you know, figuring it out. And I like that feature, self-thought.
I love the Seinfeld bit. It's like, when he was a kid, his version of adulthood was being able to buy cookies whenever you wanted. That was like, that's when you know you're an adult. I'm going to just buy, you can buy cookies whenever you want. It's amazing. Oh man.
It is funny. Totally funny how, yes, I remember that from being a kid too. Just thinking, like, oh my God, I'm going to have, you know, the money. I can go to this. I used to, like, really like penny candies. Like, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get buy all the penny candies
that I want.
Now, if you said to me, like, you can have, like, you know, as many penny candies, I'd be like, that's disgusting. Right. Like, it's like my taste buds have evolved.
Yep.
But that's good, right? Like, you wouldn't want to be the same person at 10, at 20, 30, 40, 50. Like, change is good. Curiosity is good. You know, you just have to give yourself kind of a little bit of compassion on the route, because it doesn't happen, you know, it sounds like such an obvious thing to say. Well, it doesn't happen overnight. But I think that the Captain Obvious statements are normally the ways that we shoot ourselves in the foot, especially with health. It's like, you know, oh, I can't do an hour long workout. I can only do 10 minutes. Well, I'm not going to do anything because I can't do the hour. And it's like, well, something's better than nothing. And people are like, obviously, Kathleen, that's stupid. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't act on that. When you couldn't do your hour workout, you just didn't do anything. I think that those, what's that Stephen Covey phrase? It's like, common knowledge isn't common practice. I think it's like, that's very, very true with health. Like, we shoot ourselves in the foot. It's like, oh, well, I can't afford this really expensive machine, so I'm going to do nothing. Or I can't go to the gym anymore because of COVID. So, oh, well, can't work out. Or, like,
beanbag.
Like, well, so find solutions. Exactly. And, like, learn and, so I think that we self-sabotage a lot with this idea of sort of perfection and idea of things that are sort of simple and easy and things that we should, like, know. It's like, if we know it, then we don't have to do it. Well, it's like, you have to actually know and do.
Okay. We have 5 minutes left, but we don't have to do the books and where to find you and all that, because we've already done all that. Since you're a repeat guest, but so I want to
remind everyone. We can remind everyone where to find you.
Normally we do that book talk, like, at the end. So now we've got some space here, because I want to open up one more little topic here and see if we can tie this up. So you talk about on your website too. There's another blog post that you wrote. I think it was like the porridge one. How do you like your porridge? And you have this quote, and there's like, finding the balance between, like, challenge and comfort, and where you call that kind of your sweet spot. I always say, like, you need to be uncomfortable. That's why I take cold showers, another reason I like to do extended fasts is because it kind of sucks, and it's a good to, like, be, like, you know, like pushed, but challenge and comfort, right? Most people's comfort or most people's challenge now, like, and we talked about it at the beginning, it's like, you don't want to go too hard, but also, like, you got to know what's a challenge, you know, like, if you, like, just, this is an example, like, people think I'm insane for taking cold showers, but a lot of people, like, when you even suggest,
I do, and I don't think you're insane at all.
When you suggest it to people, like, hey, do something uncomfortable, take a cold shower. It's like that taking the ice cream away from me, you know, it's like, you son of a, like, how dare you take that away from me? And it's like, so where do you think that spectrum is between, like, understanding, okay, that you're going too hard to, okay, you're kind of leaning a little bit more too comfortable, you need to challenge yourself more. How do you figure that out, like, per individual?
Oh my God, it's super hard, and I could talk about this for like 17 hours. So let me see if I can distill it down.
Even bringing it up, because it's like such a huge thing.
I think the biggest thing is to just, you have to meet yourself where you are. I think the thing with health and fitness is people often compare themselves to people on social media or where they were 10 years ago or where they want to be. And so James Clear would say you have to standardize the habit of doing something before you can optimize. So first of all, what you need to do is take a really hard, honest look at where you are, right? And then wherever you actually are. So if you can only walk 5 minutes, that's where you are. If you can run an hour, that's where you are. If you can run an hour, don't pretend you can only walk 5 minutes, right? Like really honestly address where you are. Right. And then you have to think that it's this, any learning anything, whether it's strength training, where it's like emotions with your partner, anything, it's this lovely, you have to be slightly outside what you can currently do to get stronger.
Right.
Go too far, you get traumatized,
right?
So if you, like with anything, that's like with emotional insecurity, going a little bit past your emotional comfort level will allow you to deal with that stress. You get thrown a bunch of stuff, like you're a little kid and you're in a very unsafe container home and you have no like outlet, that's gonna cause you trauma, right? So anything, but it starts with knowing where you are. And that's the hardest part, because people want to be somewhere else. And then, so they will think like, oh, well, my challenge is going to go and do like a CrossFit class for an hour. And it's like, well, then they get injured. Or people all the time will say, I'm going to go for a run. I'm like, okay, well, when is the last time you went for a run? Oh, like never. Like,
oh, you love running? Like, no, I hate running.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then why are you running?
It's like, yeah. You haven't earned the right to run for an hour. Like you maybe have earned the right to run for a couple minutes. So yeah, I think the first thing is to just really be like brutally honest with where you are, then make a goal of where you want to get to. And it can be, if you've never run, I don't like, the goal can be to run 10K, but like maybe that's 6 months from now.
Right.
And then be very honest with the like baby steps and think consistent progressive adaptation. But it's the consistency. So it's what you're talking about before, that like boom and bust, that's not useful, because you know, if you're here and you challenge yourself to here, you get injured. And then that just gives you the excuse to sit on the sofa for a month because you're injured. Right. So it has to be like here to here. Right.
Yep.
And,
incremental.
Exactly. It's called, progressive adaptation what it's called in like the fitness world, but it's with anything. And that's, that energy management book sort of takes that idea of, it's what's called supercompensation. So you lift a heavier weight than you're used to, and then you get a little bit of muscle tear and then in the rest, the muscles get stronger. But that's like what he would say is like, that's with everything, whether you're challenging yourself at work or in your relationship, you go that little bit farther, you step into the discomfort, but it's a discomfort that helps you be challenged and you can rise to the occasion.
Right.
And it's not so much discomfort that you get traumatized.
Right. And there is that sweet spot where like you can kind of push yourself and gain a little bit, or you can and push it a little bit more and gain whatever, or get stronger or whatever it is faster. But then there's you go back into the red where if you push it too much. So it's like this kind of finding and knowing like, you know, what you're, you know,
what zone
sweet
you need
spot.
To be.
Right. So
yeah, what's the sweet spot? And knowing that, so Kristen Neff, she talks a lot about compassion. And what she would say is that there's these two types of compassion for yourself. There's like warrior compassion and sort of like loving self-care compassion. And so what she would say is, if you are the type of person who always biases towards the like, oh, I'm going to relax and have a bath, then you need some like kick your ass warrior compassion.
Yeah.
But if you're the type of person who's always like, go, 14-hour days, then you're the person who's like, you know what you need is to like half an hour of extra sleep tomorrow. But so again, it's brutal honesty. Like, where are you?
Right.
Don't read an article on like self-care and be like, oh, I need more of that. If you're that person already buy it. Right. So I think it sort of circles back to what we started with,
right?
Just being able to hold those two opposites, know where you bias towards, and then gently be able to, you know, move towards your fitter future you.
And one final note on the, I thought of this earlier, and this is kind of great how we've come full circle. Like you were talking about yin and yang, the yin and the yang.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that's an old like Chinese like rule or a concept. And it's like, you know, summer, winter, hot, cold, heavy, light, those two things, those opposites, they're not enemies. They're not warring with each other.
Exactly.
You need them both for the
so
balance,
smart,
right? And so like, you know, actually in this book, it talks about that from a political deal, like, you know, the two-party system for a long time, they're like kind of tugging and pulling on different things. And it was like, that was like how it was working. You needed both of them.
The checks
very
and the balances.
Cool.
Right.
Very smart. Yes. Checks
so,
and balances. Yeah.
So that kind of, so we brought it full circle. How about that?
Can I do one last quote?
Yes.
Very quickly.
Yes. Okay. Of course.
So last time we also talked about how much all of us appreciated the Viktor Frankl quote of that our greatest power is in between stimulus and response.
Yeah.
Okay. So I brought this idea. He talks about this quote that life and emotional maturity is the tension of what you have achieved and what you yet want to achieve. and that life is not a tensionless state, but rather a state of to strive and struggle for choices and goals that you freely choose. And that's what I thought. I thought that was so cool. Because I think this is what we were talking about. But what I loved in his quote is that it's the struggle but for things that you choose and that are aligned with your values, right? So you choose that you'd rather not have the cake because you're going to feel better. You choose like you'd rather have some sleep because you're going to feel better. And I think that that's where it gets hard with health, because so often we think it's forced upon us. So the biggest thing I can give to anybody listening is I just think that the more you can be like, because health is always going to be a struggle. It's not like you wake up tomorrow and it's like, oh, it's easy. Right, yeah. I struggle, you know, I have days I'm not motivated. I have days where I'm just like, want to screw, you know, but if it's the struggling well, because you have chosen that this is something that's worthwhile, and then, right. And that you can choose that the struggle is connected to your values and your goals. And I think that that's really key. That's so great. Find a why that matters to you in regards to your health and read Viktor Frankl. I think that those are two good main takeaways.
It is February. And as is my custom, Rick, I typically will listen to Man's Search for Meaning in February. I usually, you know, I've got all these books. I read The Alchemist pretty regularly. I love that book. But Man's Search for Meaning is like not even a 4-hour audio book, super quick. And it's just such a good, it's like, you know, you get something out of it every time. So, yeah, Man's Search for Meaning, any Viktor Frankl is great. So, KathleenTrotter.com is the website.
Yes, my website, yes.
And I will put that in the show notes. There's the online fitness coaching, Finding Your Fit, all the books. We talked about the books in the intro, the speaking stuff blog. Check it all out. It's so great. I'm so glad we had you back on.
And I know, it's so much fun.
And we just, I mean, and again, like, there's so much more. We could talk
scratching the surface every time.
Yeah. So cool. And I'm very excited to learn about World War II and history. I feel like that's something like a lacuna in my knowledge base. So thank you for bringing that for me.
It has been something that has been very prescient, given the last probably 4 years of seeing like some of the kind of the same factors, kind of repeating themselves over and over again. And, you know, it is very trite that, you know, those who don't know history will be doomed to repeat it, but it's absolutely true. It's very clearly evident that we don't know our history well enough because we're allowing that same stuff to happen sometimes.
Well, I love that I always leave our discussions so inspired by books and things that I want to learn and read. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that.
I'm looking at Atomic Habits is like, I just finished this one today. And so Atomic Habits was next on my list of the books to start. So I'll be excited to read that. So Kathleen, you are awesome.
Yeah,
you guys are awesome. Night.
And we'll email and stuff, and I'll email you the show notes, and we'll get you scheduled to come back on sometime in the fall.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Bye. Happy 2021.
All right, you too.
You're listening to the Simply Human podcast.
So, Kathleen's great. Tip of the week is fine, and I feel like I've said this like even conceptually, and maybe I haven't verbalized it as well. But I always think like, you know, like this concept of like, okay, you're here, but you want to be here, right? Whatever it is. And so like what we do in like our culture is like do all this crazy stuff, this unsustainable, you know, you want to, let's say your goal is to lose 10 pounds in a week. Okay. Well, you starve yourself for a week. Well, that's not, so then you get down to your like goal, whatever it is, but then you have to reinvent the wheel because
to stay there,
it's not a sustainable deal, and so you revert back to what you were doing, and so then you have this yo-yo thing. Well, it's like, so I would always say, like, if you're here, start doing the things that this person is doing. That way, and it may take a little bit longer to develop those habits and to get. And but once you get to that point, you're not having to change anything. That's just what you do now. And like, you know, if you want to be the kind of person, if you want your teeth to last a long time, you know, you think, well, I probably have to start flossing. Okay, well, start making that habit, you know, like start flossing or whatever it is. Like, so find a new healthy habit and start trying to make that part of your routine.
Well, I think what goes with that too is you got to be patient. I mean, in this, you know, fast food drive through, you know, instant gratification society, we
credit
want
cards,
it now.
Yeah.
You know, we want the benefits and we want them now without having to work for them, but you have to be patient. And if you're patient and you just, instead of thinking, at least for me, if you don't think about the end result, you just think about the process, like that day.
Yeah.
And you stick with that, and you keep your perspective real short. You're not looking like huge long term. You're just thinking about today. then those things, you know, you start realizing those things. They start coming true. They start happening.
Also, so. I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't have the patience.
So, I guess that's the end of the show.
I guess that's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember, speaking of anuses.
So until next time, enjoy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.